Well, I appreciate your prayers. I had two messages that the Lord has been talking to me about, and I had both of them on my mind this week. Well, one more than the other, but asking the Lord which one of them, or if he wanted something else or didn't want me to preach at all, and feel like the Lord let me know which one he wanted me to talk about this morning. So I'm going to do the best I can with it and ask the Lord to help me with it. And I've prayed that the Lord will use this as a blessing for us and a challenge. I'd like to talk about truth this morning. It's real important in the Bible. Something that is held at a pretty high premium. The scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. And I was thinking, how do you buy truth? And how do you sell truth? But we can do both of those things. We're instructed to buy it, buy all of it we can, keep it, have it, and there's a lot said about truth in the world today. There's a saying that's going around. You ever heard the phrase, speak your truth? You ever heard that? It's going around in what I would call more the woke cultures. Speak your truth. My truth isn't the same as your truth. And your truth is whatever you feel like it is, and my truth is whatever I feel like it is, and they might contradict each other, but my truth is true for me and your truth is true for you. I don't agree with that philosophy. How do we find truth? Pilate asked Jesus, I'm going to read the scripture there. It's in John 18 and 37. It's Pilate said to Jesus, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Basically, that's the same thing as saying yes. And it's the way they would word things like that in the Hebrew or in that time. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And by that, I have to think that he said it in a way, almost a mocking way, or a way, yeah, but what is truth? As if truth was something that was debatable, or one thing's true for me, but another thing is true for you. Yeah, what is truth? In other words, you say that everybody that's of the truth hears your voice, and which is also to say that everybody that is not of the truth doesn't hear my voice. Or putting it still another way, anybody that cares about truth is going to hearken to me. Because I have the truth. That's the claim that Jesus was making. I have the truth. I'm the source of truth. If you care about the truth, if you're of the truth, if your heart is right, then you're going to listen to what I have to say. And in another place, he said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. And so Pilate said, yeah, well, what is truth? And it was really an honest question, what he said. I don't know in that time, he wasn't, Pilate was not a Jew. He was a Roman. And Roman was pagan, full of idolatry. And they had a lot of philosophers that would try to adopt platforms of good. They would try to come up with things that would improve the functionality of people's lives. And here, Pilate was dealing with the man that had the answers to all that. He didn't realize it, but Pilate, I don't think that Pilate even dreamed what Jesus had to give him. The things that Pilate had for him, the truth that Jesus had. And so I have an idea that their time was similar to ours in that people said truth is relative. Yeah, what is truth? You've got a truth, but I've got a truth too. I'd like to look at a scripture in Acts 17. And this will give you an idea of what was going on. This is a few years after Pilate's encounter with Jesus. But in Acts 17 and verse 16... it says, now Paul, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. All right, so there's a key right there. We'll refer back to that. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others said, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know this strange doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. You know what they're doing? They were trying to find the truth about life. They were listening to new ideas. They were weighing them in their minds. They were trying to figure out life. Isn't that what a lot of people do today? Why are we here? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What's the purpose of my existence? NASA has spent billions of dollars on telescopes and things, and I went to the observatory where they have great big telescopes in Green Bank, West Virginia. And one of the reasons that they said that those things are there is to try to find out. They're trying to find out the origin of the universe. They're trying to find truth. They want to know the truth about it. I marvel today, and I wonder if it was the same back then, at how hard it is to find the truth about some things. Things that I grew up kind of taking for granted are being debated, okay? The scripture says that God created people male and female. Two genders. No more. And yet that's being debated today. People are saying, well, I don't even know how many genders are. I don't even know what gender I am. Or I am this gender. I know I was born with the characteristics of what you call this gender, but I feel like something different. And so I'm non-binary or whatever. People say this. Do you know that we can go back and there's other things too. I'm not going to get political. I'm going to say about the genders because the scripture defines. It said scripture that God made them male and female. So that's an absolute that's in scripture. There are other things too, though. It's not just gender. There are debates raging today about whether the world is flat or whether it's round. I'm not gonna get into that this morning, but I'll tell you this. The world is either round or it's not. You know why? Because there's truth. There's a truth about something. There are talks. Some people say, well, people didn't ever go to the moon. You know what? I'm not going to get into that here. I have opinions about these things, but I'm not going to. If you want to come talk to me later about them, I'll give you my opinions on it. But I'm not trying to be political. My point is that either people went to the moon or they didn't. There's a truth about it. There's a reality about it. Either they went to the moon or they didn't. Either the world is round or it's not round. There are absolutes about things. There are truths. And you know what? There's a lot of truth that's really important that we need to know. There's a scripture that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I believe that Paul in Acts 17 and verse 16, it says the city was wholly given to idolatry. How are you going to find truth? How are you going to learn true knowledge without the fear of God? The scripture says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And so these people, it said that they spent all of their time trying to tell something or learn something. And they were learning and passing around ideas and information. And yet, their lives were so empty and devoid of anything that was truly good. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And gives a whole long list there. We won't read all of it. But it says in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? Because the Lord is not the beginning of their search. There are people in this world that have extremely high IQs. They're very capable of analyzing. And you know that the smartest people in the world can be found in every corner of theology, in every area of belief. That is because that it doesn't matter how smart you are this morning. It takes the fear of the Lord and a relationship with Him to know real solid truth. We can believe in God, even. But unless we have a personal relationship with Him, there will be a lot of truth that we miss out on. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Okay, so there was truth. You know who these two guys were? Jannes and Jambres were the two magicians that were in Pharaoh's court. And Moses came in there and presented truth. All right? Now, God in His mercy reveals truth to us at different times in our lives. He speaks to us through His creation. He speaks to us through His holy word. He speaks to us in many different ways. He speaks to us through the lives of others that have the power of God. We are witnesses of Jesus' power and of His resurrection. And when we go and we take the gospel to other people, it makes them responsible. But whenever people hear truth, they have something that they have a choice of what to do with it. They can accept it and move closer to God, or they can reject it and move farther away. That's what this is talking about. Jannes and Jambres, Moses went in there and he took his rod and he threw it down. And Jannes and Jambres, those two magicians, and Pharaoh, They looked at it and they recognized that there was a power there that was greater than what they had. And yet, they denied it. Jannes and Jambres took their rods and they threw them down and they said, we can do that too. And then the plague started coming. You can read about it in Exodus. They did this with several of them. They turned the water. Moses turned the water into blood. And the magicians turned the water into blood too. They had some water. They turned it into blood, I believe. And then there was another thing. What was the second plague? I can't remember what the second plague was. Was it the flies or the frogs or something? It was one of those things. And the magicians did the same thing. They said, oh, we can do this too. So you don't have any power. They were resisting truth because you know what? You know that that's not the first thing they tried to do. I guarantee you the first thing they tried to do was get rid of the blood. Who wants blood in all the water? Who wants frogs in the butter dish? They tried first to get rid of it, and when they couldn't do it, then they said, well, look at here what we can do. We can say some magic words and we can make these frogs too. And so they were not honest and they resisted the truth. You and I, when truth comes to us, we can do two things with it. We can accept it. And I thought about all the different belief systems that are in the world. Isn't it amazing how many different ways you can interpret the Bible? Now, I'm not saying interpret it correctly, but how many different interpretations and you can go along a line of thought on a scripture and it seems like it makes perfect sense, and then somebody else comes with their idea and it's a totally different set of evidence and line of reasoning, and that makes sense to them, but you know that there's one truth about all scripture. You can take any scripture and there's something that it means, and that's what it means. It doesn't mean anything else. And so our job is to get as close to the Lord as we can and say, Lord, teach me your truth. All right? Truth is not relative. Truth is not what I feel it needs to be or what popular opinion is. That wouldn't have gone very well for Noah if he would have looked around and said, you know, or any of his sons said, you know, everybody has looked at this and they give their reasons why we're wrong. There's eight of us here that feel this way. And how many hundred thousand or maybe, I don't know, how many people are on the other side of it? Truth is not always what's popular. But the Lord revealed to Noah and his family, this is truth. And they held on to it. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There are things about the Word. And about, there are things that are true. There are truths that if we are going along in an unregenerated state and we don't allow the Holy Spirit free reign in our lives, there are things that we will miss. Sometimes truth is very inconvenient, isn't it? Is truth always pleasant? No. There are times I've thought about all the different doctrines, okay, all the different ways of interpretation. I strongly suspect that nearly every one of those comes from, at some point, somebody's refusal to accept truth. All right, let me put it this way. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Lord, help us here. I feel utterly unable to explain some of these things, but the Lord will help us this morning. The scripture says that Jesus was the light that came in, that lighteth every man that come into the world. What does light do? It does several things, doesn't it? We have light streaming in the window. I can feel the heat from it. It warms, it energizes. What did it do to people? It gave them, Jesus was the true light. He came and he gave abundant life to people. Just like the light of the sun comes and warms and renews the earth and sets in motion the photosynthesis and all that. But it does something else. Light does something else. It reveals the truth about things, good or bad, whether it's inconvenient or not. And in your life and in mine, we are going to come to choice points every so often where truth is revealed to us about something. If we are walking in the light, there will come choice points where we see, you know what? This is how I've always thought it was. And now I see the truth about it. The Lord reveals this to me. Do you know that the Lord will not force His truth on us? We can accept it. And if we do, then that's another stepping stone in our walk with God. And we will be able to have more truth. But we can also walk away from it. And the reason that people walk away from truth is because to accept it means that it makes them responsible for something. I have to change something. I have to admit I was wrong. I have to, whatever it is, I have to make something right. I have to apologize. I have to realize that I'm not who I thought I was. And so many people make the decision, That's not true. And they say, this is truth over here. And sometimes they do it subconsciously, where they don't really even, all it takes is a little dishonesty about who I am. I believe that that is the foundation of many, most or all, of the false beliefs in the world today. That there was a choice point of truth. And somebody said, I cannot accept that. And so they defined something else. This is true. And it was something where they didn't have to move at all from where they were spiritually. We can do that. It's really easy to do. Think of, well, have you ever wondered why people are atheists? Some people are atheists. I don't know if there's really anyone that has really thought about it and lived for any great length of time that is a true atheist. God speaks too loudly in the world, in His creation and through people. I believe that many times the adamant assertions of people that there is no God, there cannot be a God, that it is the strongest attempt that they can muster to avoid responsibility for things in their own life. You delete God and you've deleted your responsibility. You can do whatever you want to then. Maybe people had things in their life that they couldn't overcome. And so, in desperation, said, there is no God. And then they're free. They don't have to overcome those things anymore. It says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They shy back and let the darkness cover them. I believe that if there is not a return to God in this country, I believe things will get worse. I'm seeing the breakdown of what of truth everywhere. Try to look up, are eggs good for me or not? I can look on the internet and I can find places that say you need 2 eggs every day, whatever. And then another place that says, oh, you can't eat eggs. If you wanna have this problem and this problem, then you eat eggs. And it's that way with many things. You can find opinions. Yeah, they have opinions about the vaccines. They have opinions about gravity. And you can find all kinds of information. And you know what? If you believe a certain way about just about anything, you can get online and you can find a whole group of people that believes just like you do. But does that mean it's true? No, it doesn't. So how do we find truth? Proverbs 2 has the answer. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So this is the first thing. You've got to desire the truth. You've got to come to the place where you say, I want the truth. Whatever the truth is, okay, it's the light. The light's going to come. It's going to reveal. It might reveal some things that I don't want it to reveal, but I want it. That's what I want. Lord, whatever you reveal to me, I'm going to accept, no matter what it is. Little steps. That's the way the Lord does it. He gives us little steps at a time. He doesn't come and inundate us with knowledge that we can't handle, but He leads us like a shepherd, but we have to follow Him. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. There's another key. Not going to sit with your hands in your lap and say, God, just give me everything I need to know. Don't really feel like digging very deep into your word. Do you know that the Lord has wisdom that is hidden? And it's hidden for a reason. He wants you to dig. So that's another key. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. In the 9th verse it says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Well, that's what I want. Isn't that what you want today? To walk in every path that the Lord, the path that the Lord has, the good path. How many good paths are there for you? There's only one. May the Lord help us that we'll be able to see the next step in front of us. And we do that by crying after knowledge, by seeking for understanding, by being willing to accept whatever it is in whatever form and whoever brings it. You know that sometimes people get real picky about where their truth comes from? Well, he offended me, and so I'm not going to listen to anything he said. You know, if it comes from an absolute apostate and it happens to hit a chord of truth in your heart, you're responsible for it. And I'm responsible for those things. It says, here's another key. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. So I want to ask you this morning, is knowledge pleasant to your soul? For knowledge to be pleasant to our soul, you know what that means? The desire for knowledge has to be greater than the desire to appear right. We have this thing in our minds, and it's a human tendency where we want to appear right. And so whenever we get in a debate, a lot of times we'll find ourselves gravitating toward wanting to win the argument rather than to be right. To actually be right. Not to look right, but to be right. And so, how many of us this morning could get into a debate with somebody about something and then halfway through realize that we're on the wrong side of it? How many of us would be able to immediately switch and say, the debate's over because I see you're right about that? How many of us would be able to do that? May the Lord help us to where knowledge is pleasant to our soul. Because many times in our life, the Lord is going to come and cut across preconceived notions and ideas and say, you were wrong about that. And we have to say yes to that and accept it at every step that the Lord does that with us. Sometimes it's going to mean backtracking and admitting to other people, you know what, I was completely mistaken about that. Sometimes it's going to mean going back and apologizing to people and say, you know what, I held this, but I held it too strictly, or I held it wrongly. I shouldn't have done that. You know, those things will break something in us when we do it, but it's a good thing to break. It'll break the carnal desires that we have to be right. To be right in other people's eyes. So knowledge has to be pleasant to our soul. Now, I'd like to go to John 16 and 13. We talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit in Sunday school this morning. Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All right? He will guide you into all truth. Now, does that mean that when you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to understand everything about everything? Well, of course not. Well, then what does this mean? It means that for whatever path you're on, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will give you all the truth and make it available to you that you need to know to accomplish your mission in life. Everything that you need to know. I did a lot of reading about George Washington Carver. He was a scientist. He was black, and black people had great challenges back then in the 1900s. Because of segregation, racism. He had great success in science, persevered through the things that were against him. I'm going to read a couple quotes from him. He said, the secret of my success, it is simple. It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So in 1921, Dr. Carver addressed the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Ways and Means about the many uses of the peanut as a means to improve the economy of the South. So he came to God and he said, Mr. Creator, why did you make the peanut? You know, the Bible doesn't say anything about the peanut. But it's in God's Word and in God. All the knowledge that we need, that's where we go to find it. And He can teach us things. It says so God began to reveal to him the secrets of the peanut. And he actually did not invent peanut butter, but he invented many other uses for the peanut. He made glue and gasoline, wood filler, metal polish, diesel, plastic, axle grease, oil, rubber, writing ink, printer's ink, those are just a few. He made many things out of the peanut. And so it says that he spoke in Congress about the many uses of the peanut as a means to improve the economy of the South. When he finished, the chairman asked him, Dr. Carver, how did you learn all of these things? Carver answered, from an old book. Which book? When Carver said, the Bible, the chairman asked, does the Bible tell about peanuts? Dr. Carver replied, no, sir, but it tells about the God who made the peanut. I asked him to show me what to do with the peanut, and he did. In less than an hour before the committee, Carver won a tariff for the peanut industry. So, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about peanuts. A lot of the issues that we see in the world today, things that we would research online, information that seems like it's harder and harder to get a hold of. How do I eat? How do I live? What shape is the world? What about the gender issues? All of the things, all of the questions that there are, where you get online and you'll see this person's truth and this person's truth. The secret to it all may be found by getting a hold of God and establishing. He's the one that establishes the relationship. All we have to do is step into it. The Lord wants us to get to know Him because He has things He wants to teach us. He doesn't just want to teach us about how to live a holy life, but He wants to teach us how to be functional. He wants to teach us things about science, and in learning about that, we will see greater and greater about who He is. He teaches us spiritual things by natural things. I've gotten many lessons by studying trees and light and water and air and all of those kind of things. The Lord's fingerprints are all over it, and the Lord has the knowledge for you and me. How do I eat? What do I eat? Or is this? Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, will you show me how to eat? Lord, will you show me how to do this? Lord, I lost my keys. Will you help me find my keys? It says in Colossians that in Christ Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you know, I'm not going to get up here and tell you what you need to believe this about the earth and this is what and about the moon landing, this is what happened or this is what didn't happen. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to tell you to do is to go to God and ask it. And you might not ever find out if they ever went to the moon or not conclusively, but I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find the truth that God knows that you need. How do I raise my children? How do I deal with my grandchildren? How do I behave in the community? Do I vote? How do I vote? What do I? All of those questions, you know, the Lord has answers. The Lord can help you know how to be in this, whatever stage of life you're in. The Lord can reveal and will reveal, if you seek for it, all the truth that you need. And it's not just some sort of relative truth. It is the truth. The Lord will help you to know the truth. It's not a group. Don't base your truth on what a group, no matter how good the group may be, what they may teach. Our truth comes from Jesus Christ. It says, Jesus said, I am the way. And Thomas said, "How? We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. And so sometimes we can be tempted to say, well, I wonder what does our group teach? And then we find out what our group teaches about whatever, and we just go with it automatically. You know, that's not what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to dig. Because groups get things wrong, all right? They do. And groups deviate. They may start good, and our group or any other group can start with the best intentions and maybe even the best beliefs and can deviate. Jesus Christ. Get a relationship with Jesus Christ. Be filled with His Spirit. Live being filled with His Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and the Lord will bring truth to you. You pray for me.